Blog Talk Radio.
Same bat channel, just a new bat time. Welcome to the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. We are with you at 3 p.m. on Saturday afternoons now. Hope you all find us and stick with us. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Gwen.
How you doing?
Good, good. Much better on the other side of this Grand Cross.
Well, we got a solar eclipse coming up, and I found some very interesting information to share, and especially about the sensual nature of all of this. We are transforming, and certainly the mothers carrying children right now are transforming children that they're carrying, the fetuses, the new little babies coming up, like the last babies in the last 20 years, are all being altered. They're not the same. I think our DNA is getting rebundled on us in many ways. And I'm for sure, science-wise, factually, we are going through a magnetic surges, the planetary field, which the magnetic field of the planet is the subtle bodies of the planet, and they are definitely going through major shifting, and this is why these major physical symptoms are occurring. I'm convinced.
Right on with everything you just said. DNA definitely doing something different. The children definitely different. They have different immune systems, I see, from the little ones. So I can just imagine after all of this what they're going to be like, the ones soon to come.
Mm-hmm. There's been so much that for the last, just to share, because I haven't been here for the last few weeks. And one of the reasons is because I've been going through what is commonly being termed right now the ascension symptoms. Have you heard that term?
Yes.
And it includes actual wooziness. Some people get downright dizzy. For me, it began one night when I sat up in bed to go to the ladies. You know, I was getting up to go to the bathroom, and I had vertigo. I mean, real vertigo. That scared the crap out of you. Huh. And, well, especially when you're definitely gotten into crone territory. And so... as it progressed, I was, and here this, what was going on was the lunar eclipse was coming up. The oppositions and squares in the grand cardinal cross we've been experiencing was tightening its magnetic influences throughout the solar system, especially on us in the crosshairs of Uranus and Pluto. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Mars kicking up, you know, hey, listen, man, there's been a lot of it going on. I think that folks who are awake or awakened, you can be awakened and not fully awake yet. So I'm not going to come out and prance on the stage and say I'm awake. I will say I'm awakened. Is that good? Does that fly?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, because, you know, we're all on different levels of where we are and how long we've been working on it and how our brains process things. But yeah, once you're, and when you're awakened, you can't turn back. You know, you see where you are and then you do what you will with it. But yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And consciousness is shifting. I mean, well, and the consciousness shift, but the consciousness is really shifting right now. I don't know if for myself, it's always been, I have always been pretty Missourian about this stuff. Some very much show me. And so I was given the grand tour of show me for the last few weeks. Ending up, I don't usually drop trow and run. Let me define that. That would be Gwen going to see a doctor. But I did, because one day I was, not so long ago, well, it was a week ago, I was cleaning up around here, getting ready for a dinner, and I had racing heart and shortness of breath. Now, I didn't know what to figure it, but it scared me. And so I called a friend and said, you know, take me over to the horse pistol, which is what they did. And I went through all kinds of tests. And I'm telling you, when they do your blood pressure, honey, that can kill you too. That cuff, I'd like to kill whoever made that cuff.
Yeah, they say people's blood pressure is usually higher when they go to get it checked because, A, they're worried about it being higher, so it's higher.
Yeah.
And then that the whole experience is, you know, stressful, so it's higher. Yeah.
White coat.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, they gave me an EKG. They put me in front of an X-ray machine for my chest. They put me through a CAT scan.
Boom, bam, boom, in the brain.
Right. From which they found out that, yes, I do have a brain. This was confirmed. Confirmation.
Yes, Scarecrow, you do.
But the whole thing was scary. And I know there are those who are out there, many light workers, many people who are awakened. And I would say that awakened means anyone who practices, whether through intention or direct dynamic energetic techniques using light, which we know awakens and puts us into another consciousness category altogether, I would say that anybody who's been going through this is wondering what the heck is going on. Usually I ground, well, that's the other symptom. You got to grab ground. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. And I would add to that awakened is if you understand anything about the oneness or feel the anything about the oneness and that there's more to you than just this physical body. I think when you really start to understand that and feel it as the truth, that's also part of awakeningness.
Well, you have a point there. The other thing that is happening here with this Uranus-Pluto cycle is that our physical senses are being shifted, and so are our subtle senses. So our psychic or did you lose me?
You kept talking. I heard you.
Yeah, I don't know if everybody else did. Because I got that you're not connected. Blog Talk Radio has been going through its consciousness shifts too, and has been very troublesome. What I was saying is that our sensuality on both levels is awakening into a stronger bundle. In other words, our DNA is bundling. Yeah, and the other strands are beginning to bundle, and it's strengthening the multidimensional capability within us consciously, because our subtle sensuality and our physical sensuality is finding stronger bonds right now. And this is maybe why we're woozy. Maybe this is why we're seeing double, because we're seeing two dimensions at one time. This is maybe why, and please let me do my little sidebar here to say, if you are feeling physically strange, you really should, like I did, go to the doctor if you seriously think something is wrong with yourself. In my case, I went, and anybody who knows me knows that, you know, the sun ain't going to shine anymore if I'm going, you know, it's a very strange thing for me to go. So,
I would add that also it depends on how you feel about what's happening and your amount of worry. If you can't get out of worry without going to the doctor to tell you for some clarity, you know, then yes, definitely go. But my experience with doctors lately, and I don't know if it's because I'm seeing more of the Babylon and I know more about, you know, what levels people are on. And I find it very clear when I go to someone who's on the right level, the right energy for me, who's more holistic. And my experience with doctors lately has been, you know, just terrible, even with the vets.
Yeah.
You know, the vets were nicer, I found, for some reason, than normal people doctors, but they were still charging astronomical amounts of money for silly things. And I was like, you know what, this is not. So I think also just to know that this is what's happening and that it really is happening. Like, we've been talking about these things, not only us, but we, the community, has been talking about these changes for a while, and they have been happening for a while, but this one is really something else. And when you talk about it on a DNA level, I mean, that makes the utmost sense with the dizziness and the stomach problems and the sleeping and the getting irritated and strange emotions and your body, you know, things swelling or hurting. You know, to just work through that with going, okay, this is part of my ascension.
Well, it is quite true. But I would also say I encourage people to follow their instincts, especially if they're over 50 or over 55. And a lot of light workers are, because we've got a hell of a cadre of elders here who have opened up the way for us. And even with all of this knowledge, I mean, I was grabbing ground and I was vacillating between understanding what was going on and also realizing that I could have legitimate health concerns here. And frankly, I was thinking, hey, listen, man, my ride ain't over. This lifeline's around, wrapping around the thumb and in the bracelets here. I mean, I have not completed my contract yet. Still, I do advise people who are, and when you were talking, to go and seek clarity from allopathic healthcare. And on the other hand, I learned a great deal. I mean, my sister and Tracy were with me, and the doctor came in, and finally, you know, what he diagnosed was anxiety. And my sister looked at me like, really? Is he kidding? You know, it's like, okay, who today is not carrying some? But, you know, when it takes all that to bring me into a hospital and to get a good EKG and to, you know, pass the tests, as they say, it was, you know, they were giving me a tranquilizer, and I thought they were setting me up for something big. And at first, they were just trying to say, there's nothing wrong with you.
But it's so palpable. I mean, it's understandable, that anxiety. I mean, my friend's teenage daughter is having anxiety, and they want, you know, they're debating whether, you know, drugs, no drugs, the which kind of drugs, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she's a very tuned in little girl. And
I don't suggest drugs except for fun.
I agree.
If you have to, the doctor said, I can write you a prescription, and I'm going to, because you need it. I took a little prescription for 10 Ativan or whatever. However, he said, I want you to come back, get a prescription. And I, excuse me? Excuse me? You got a prescription for medical marijuana? We're talking.
Yeah.
You know, it just, it was a symptom. Here I was looking straight in the face of a symptom of what I see wrong with this world, and I'm working hard to heal. And so I came out realizing that sometimes the as above, so below is about me, you know, it's like I prescribed my own outcome there. I've always been a very show me, and so I had to show myself that this was not something outside of what I suspected.
Nice.
A shift in consciousness and the ability to, you know, access a stronger connection between my physical and subtle senses, and basically cinch up my boots here to get on with it as we pass through these cycles. They're getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I would agree with that. To definitely, you know, clear the slate with your physical, because the physical is the last one to get the message. You know, it's the most dense. So, you know, to know that it's not having its own problem, that it's just going through this. Yes, definitely.
It is also a confirmation point. These Uranian-Plutonian cycles have huge effects. The combination has been historically experienced as uncontrollable surge of accelerated nervous energy in individuals. And then we've seen some historical examples of how this kind of transit's prolonged duration on society comes to affect the masses, because in the 30s and in the 60s, when individual neuropsychological energy progressively resonated upon the other members of the tribe or the community or the society, it gradually amassed into an irrepressible movement of ideological outrage that has at some point erupted against the prevailing social order. The effect of these social upheavals has been to irrevocably disintegrate any core values and popularly deemed as restrictive or antiquated. And I point to Occupy and the worldwide global revolution we see going on through this incredible planetary consciousness you and I are both experiencing through right now. And I'd like to give credit for that insight to who it belongs to, Agent 86, Ang Stoic, over at Cosmic Intelligence Agency. These guys are putting out information that is just incredible. I mean, they are really hitting it on the head.
The CIA for the people.
Oh, yeah, this is the CIA for the people. And basically, too, with these sensual changes going on, we've got, there's time for distraction. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of distraction all around us. And you have to wonder if this Cardinal Grand Cross, how it's actually right now, how is it actually affecting our society at this time, you know, because we are all pretty much, I would say, ready for a shift in consciousness or ascension, a multidimensional conscious, walking conscious awareness but as these physical symptoms are showing us, in order to achieve that, it takes a lot of grounding, because that's what we've been doing, grabbing ground to ground these energies in. That was the thing I was doing most frequently through all of these symptoms. Whenever I would get them, I would be like grabbing for ground because I felt like I was leaving my body. How about you? What was your...
Yeah, definitely. This is how I explained the last 2 weeks since the lunar eclipse. The lunar eclipse was all about the emotions and standing strong and getting through whatever was palpably sad or of the negative emotions, right? Things come up. And then after that, there was a little bit of a reprieve. And then it was very distracting. I mean, I don't even remember the weekend before the, I went for Easter. That's right. That was like a different world. But then with the Grand Cross, I noticed, and I see quite a few other examples of people in different states of around Tuesday and Wednesday, the 22nd, 23rd, was a lot of anger. I felt angry, and I was wondering why, and it was frustrating not to know why. And my hypothesis as to why is, when you have been working with this energy for a while, this Grand Cross brought in a new surge of it. And I think a lot of people across the planet woke up. Something happened where a lot of people snapped in. And I think when you're tuned into this kind of consciousness, you feel a disruption in the force. Tom talked about chaos coming through during a solar eclipse, especially during a blood moon, that chaos opens up. There's a crack for it to come in. And I think it was very palpable during the Grand Cross. So we all felt really irritated and angry, like really, whoa. And then come Thursday afternoon into Friday, it was a brand new day. I can't say it was all about focusing in on the tasks, but the energy felt 1,000 times better.
Well, that's Uranus in Aries, electrifying. It's producing extraordinary. Let me quote them. Quote Agent 86 over there. It's so funny. Agent 86.
Great name.
Yeah, bringing it all through a shoe phone.
Yeah.
And I'll
tell you. Know, in the restaurant business, 86 means you don't have any of that anymore.
Yeah, it's always meant the end. I know.
Cool.
Uranus in this initial zodiac sign is producing extraordinary bursts of energy to the individual nervous systems or even the lowest evolved entities. In the human nervous system, it is manifesting as an accelerated ability to comprehend both our internal memory and incoming new information. And our ability to process data is aided not only by our increased rate of sensory perception, but particularly with the facility of personal mobile gadgetry, such as smartphones, computers, GPS devices, etc., all inextricably linked to the internet, connecting us with increasing speeds over an ever-expanding wireless network system. Wi-Fi hotspots are everywhere, and they affect us too. Uranus in Aries also injects us with an unprecedented relentlessness. Sure. Restlessness to move. We're prone to move blindly and ambitiously and with fanatical zeal to pursue our profound ideals, as well as some remarkably innovative technological advances to increase our personal intelligence. And mind you, the intelligence level of humanity has zoomed in the last 20 years, just zoomed, and it's been because of technology. Many are urged to strive for reform on things like climate, equal rights for gays, single and aging citizens, commerce, economics, migration, and socio-political refuge, fossil fuel supplies, and its alternatives, work and labor policy, not just to name a few. So this is the product of Uranus in Aries today. And that explains a great deal. If you sit and put all those pieces on the chessboard correctly, you see how the advance of humanity has been lightning fast, just as the Maya explained it in their nine-stepped pyramid of ages and advance, and how this underworld is so short, coming through the birth canal into a new evolutionary state of mind and state of society and state of planetary, solar, and cosmic existence. Did I get that all in there?
Wow, that was Agent 86. Good Lord.
That was Agent 86 and Gwen mouthing off at the end.
Nice. I like the Gwen mouthing off part. I think that was well put. Listening to that, I was like, wow, I think this is one of the best shows I've listened to about the Grand Cross. And I've listened to quite a few. And once you get the basics, you know, unless you have something else to tell me, I'm like, yeah.
Well, you know, too, we've also had Pluto in Capricorn, and Capricorn can be touchy. And it's a droning force, and I'm talking Agent 86 here. It emanates as a low-frequency vibration from beneath our feet. Now, I call that the magnetic shifting myself. Like a swirling lava underneath the Earth's crust is being sensed individually, too.
Wow, that's the dizziness. That is exactly what my dizziness feels like. It feels like you're on a boat. Wow.
Yeah. And this is the stirring tribal frequency responsible for our relentless drive for recognition, power, and social independence, or lack thereof for many without power. It's the drive to achieve, proclaim, and behold our brand status. Do you get that? Mm-hmm. An increasing subconscious desire to dictate our own terms to others, stand firm on these, become known for enforcing these terms, and be willing to struggle to maintain them at any cost. Do you see the yin-yang here?
Mm-hmm. Spiritual warrior.
From the Uranus to the Plutonian. Willing to struggle to maintain them. And in certain individuals who have amassed the means and resources to realize their ideas, plans, and inventions, this untiring desire has manifested in the forms of a globalized brand or product or economical influence that has become enmeshed into the fabric of everyday life, corporate monopolies, and international bodies. Can you say Walmart?
or Babylon,
there you
to be more general.
Hence, this is the rise of the plutocrat in our times, the wealthy multi-billionaire with seemingly unlimited power to further increase their brand status. Mm-hmm. In greater extremes, and perhaps most concerning, this energy is expressed through some individuals as a tendency to assume very dangerous, potentially catastrophic positions. This is the compelling force of Pluto and Capricorn today, abetted further by the supporting mutual reception of Saturn and Scorpio, which goes through next year, which is more structured and conventional terms lends affinity to all these Plutonian traits. So like most of the astrologers and most of the channelers who have been accurate over the years have been saying, it's from 2010 to 2015 is the shakedown cruise. Right now, I think it's just getting more intense. We felt it through this grand cardinal cross. And I guess one of the things that both you and I can agree on is, people, we got to start paying attention to how the cosmos is wagging. In other words, the astrological effects, the astro flash, what's coming up, because it makes sense that if we understand what the influences cosmically are, then geocentrically here on Earth, we can adjust more attuned to it.
Yeah, it's like listening to the weather report.
Yes, which, you know, weather is just mean anymore. But.
Right, and very unpredictable, and you're not quite sure, so you have to adapt. And I had a spirit therapy client last night, and I was really interested to see what somebody would say after the Grand Cross that isn't really, you know, tuned into these things, but is interested, obviously. And she said the exact same things, all the symptoms at the same times, and was like, I was wondering what was going on with me. Like, was I just losing it? Like, what's going on? And so I told her about everything, and I had to tell it a few times because I think sometimes all these, you know, the planets and the positions and all these things, it can be confusing. But my word to the wise is you don't have to understand all that stuff. Just go, yeah, 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 yeah. And then it'll start to make sense in your head. But to get the message behind each thing is, or as much as, or just the general message, oh, it's weird right now, you know, will be very helpful to get through this.
Yeah, this is a revolutionary time. All our old concepts and expectations, they're just being shattered. And no matter how sacred they may have been to us, things are changing. Life is not what we thought, and neither are we. We are much more than we have ever realized. And I think that basically realizing that and then being afraid of naturally having a knee-jerk fear reaction to what is truly within us, how much. In other words, I'm talking about all of the lifetimes that we've led that has come to this one, bringing that into our conscious awareness. Well, that could be shattering if we're not prepared. Mm. And perhaps this is a part of the, you know, as I said in the beginning, awakening, so that we are prepared and capable of taking in as much as we can of this. And also, I don't know how much you give credence to, but I always have, the parallel lives, the parallel portions of me that are, or the parallel me that is in the other dimension living that life. The connection is coming. That's a little deep, but I mean, it's conversable.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've been thinking about that as well, because sometimes, like, I have physical symptoms of pregnancy for months. Like, I felt like I was, like, in breastfeeding mode. And I wondered if one of my alternate selves was having a child right now, and I was feeling the effects of it.
Well,
you know, it is pretty interesting to think about.
It's true. I have an awareness of myself in two different realms, two different dimensions. One is very Egyptian-like, a big surprise there. But I'm male. I'm not female. And I wear these gold bracelets that when I click them together, sort of like Wonder Woman, they do something. And I'm not sure what it is that they do.
Oh.
But they do it. In another one, and that one seems a bit Egyptian too. I don't know if it is or not, but it just seems that. But I sit at this wonderful crystal bench, if you will, or desk, and I seem to be writing a lot and listening to people in a sort of a court. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of freaky. But however.
Are those past lives, so those are parallel lives that you feel are happening?
Yes, I do feel like they're parallel. I don't think they're past.
Wow, cool.
Because the past lives have a dream kind of quality to them.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a more daydream kind of, no, maybe that's not it, because I could say that the other lives, the multidimensional, are more daydream.
Maybe more like watching a story that has happened instead of living along with, like, a reality show.
There's a definite quality of life, the difference, time difference, a definite quality of time difference.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
That is going on. And these parallel lives, I think it's time that we began to acknowledge and anchor them in. You know, I think right now is a time that we're anchoring a lot of this information, a lot of these portions of ourselves, we're anchoring it, because we are obviously the resonators, the tuning forks for the resonation of a new consciousness. So we have to anchor ourselves, and anchoring ourselves means more than one dimension. In other words, we have to be in several at once.
And I would say a good way of anchoring that I found is taking a nap.
Ah, okay.
Because I find, like, the last 3 or 4 days, I've wanted to take a nap every afternoon. And it's not so much of, it's an all-around sort of, fatigue. But I also just want to not be responsible for physically doing anything right now and be down for as long as I need to be down. And so many things flash through my brain, and I either sleep or don't. I go through a lot of different levels, really, and then my alarm goes off, or I just wake up and I feel completely different. So it seems like that was the best thing that I could have done for myself in the last few days, is just when it's time to go and you're getting a little, you know, too much information to process, just at least take the body out of the equation in a fashion.
Well, that's good advice. That's very good advice. And while our senses are adjusting to being not just physical, but also subtle senses that we're connecting with. In other words, seeing the physical world right now that surrounds us, and being able to see other worlds with that third eye quality, and being able to define that third eye quality from just a daydream. In other words, quality of time again, or dimensionality. We have a lot of really great tools. That's what I do. That's my livelihood. I work to create those tools of sensuality with fragrance and vibration. And there are other tools that other light workers and makers are working with. Like, there's some really wonderful jewelry and pendants and healing rods and whatnot, working with minerals and stones. Crystals. And I'll tell you, one of the highest frequency tweakers right now, helpmates, is flower essences and flower essence formulas.
Well,
they're working huge.
Yeah, like on a whole nother level. I'm glad you brought that up, because you sent me the wormwood of the shaman misters, and you said that's about the crossing and in between worlds and moving through worlds. And during that grand cross, you know, I felt so, what I now understand from this conversation is moving through these different worlds. And so I thought, well, I guess I did understand it to a certain extent, because I thought, wow, I'm moving through worlds, but it's a lot of work. Oh, wait, Gwen made that mister about moving through worlds. So maybe if I miss this, it'll make the ride easier. And guess what? Instantly, like in 5 minutes, I was like, oh my God, I'm so much better. Like, it just helped me. It's like taking an aspirin when you have a headache. Like, it just allowed me to just go with it. I don't know how it works. I don't know if you do either, but that's what happened. And then eventually, to use the pure sweet grass and white sage, you know, to chill out again. Yeah, I'll start with that if you want to say. And then I use the Palo Santo. Well, that's real quick. For the first time, oh, I used it after my spirit therapy yesterday. And it really does. It's like this, it's like a neutralizer, but without, like, I think of the, you know, the sage clears everything out, right? That's like the tabula rasa, right? Like just boom.
Uh-huh.
And, but the Palo Santo still kept everything open in there, but cleared out the other energies of others. That's what it felt like to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's what it's meant to do. That's what it's meant to do. These are,
so it works.
These are, these, this, the, you know, I work as a channel. I mean, I call my guides to me, or they come to me when the time is right to create these. And this is Peruvian. This is Andean. Shamanic energy and spirituality that's being channeled through. The Wormwood Shaman, I also think of like Danian, work he does at hospice. There's a lot of people who are deciding to cross right now too. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what the journey is for an awakened? I mean, let's think about Jose Arguez crossing in 2012. On the
portal,
on the portal, he proclaimed was going to be there.
Right.
I mean, dude,
talk about setting up your own exit.
And so, you know, I mean, this is the kind of a tool that you would work with when you're helping, because he did not cross alone, you know.
Yeah.
And he basically just it was a shock to a lot of us, but he apparently knew it was coming and what to do. And I think there are a lot of people that are going through this right now.
Yeah, and even if you're with someone that's crossing in hospice, this is, I think, also a good thing, because you're feeling it, and I think you can choose, you know, to go with it or not. And if you are the one that's crossing, for sure, that wormwood, because what it feels like to me energetically is, all right, you're standing in front of a house, let's say, and the door is open and you can see into the house, but there's so much wind and there's dirt and there's thing, you know, there's the dirt on your boots and you need to, and you can't get through it. And it seems like the wormwood calms all of that down, dusts off your feet so that everything is flowing back and forth, like you don't have to work so hard. That's what it feels like.
I see. Well, the first three came, and the first three represent the different levels and worlds of the Peruvian shamanic experience. And you begin with that with the Palo Santo woods. Now, there's a little Palo Santo essential oil in there, but I made it a blend with some Peru balsam and a nice Atlas cedarwood. It's a very warm scent. It's supposed to be a cloak of comfort and healing for the healer who has just gone through a healing. So it's like, and I know so many people who work in the medical community that, hi, Anita, I see you there.
Anita, hi, Anita.
Our wise woman media has just entered the room. And and she does a lot of healing work in her community. Now, this is a scent that would be something that Anita would be able to mist over her, and it would bring her restoration and comfort after a trying afternoon. And then again, when she works with elderly clients, I think sometimes with caretaking, and the Wormwood Shaman is made, as we were discussing, for that also. It assists you to assist them through, and then on another level, it helps to sensually create the portal for you to cross through.
Yeah.
You know.
That's exactly how they feel. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, you work with these things every day, and you, I think, live a lot of time otherwise in other places.
I think that's something I've got to get jiggy with.
Yeah.
It's been years I've had the sweetgrass and the white sage for over 20 years, and yet it was only when someone requested it from me that I sat down and said, oh, I know how to do that, and I just did it. And it was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, just like that. But it's amazing for the rest. I mean, I've been working with, you know, your products and you for quite some years now, but you know, you didn't ever explain it to me like that. And that's exactly, I mean, you might as well have been in my, exactly how I was feeling. I think it's a wonderful new component to our communications right now, is that sensual and intuitive understanding of what the other is going through. Like on my shows, I've been talking about, I was watching on YouTube these LSD experiments in the 1950s, and they gave one to this 1950s housewife, and she was wonderfully articulate, I thought, with describing the indescribable, what she was seeing to, you know, her moderator or whatever. And he was asking her these very sort of, you know, weird energied, fear-based, or just, you know, kind of poking at her, and she didn't let any of it get to her.
Right.
But all she would say is, well, don't you see it? And he said, no, I don't see it. Tell me about it. And she said, oh, well, but just from those words, you could see the beauty that she was seeing. You can't describe it like that, but you can feel from her feeling. And I think we're starting to learn that, how to understand past the words.
Well, yes, and you brought up something very important, the ethnobotany, especially, you know, I've worked with it for years, especially with my Mayan collection, but the psychotropic plants that are here to help us journey through and cross the bridges into our own selves, and thereby going out. And usually people apprentice, if you will, or are trained by people who have been doing shaman medicine, people who have for many years worked with these plants and know how to use them as gateways and doorways in healing purposes. You know, I'm a big student of Terence McKenna. Mm-hmm. Ethnobotany is important, but my job has been to create the vibrational versions of, like, in all three of those myths that you have, the flower essence or the vibrational remedy in it is ayahuasca.
No wonder.
Doorways. But it's not the crack between worlds that can be so, you know, when you get, like, LSD is not a plant, so it's a man-made opener, and you have to navigate that one, I think, a whole different way. But ayahuasca or DMT, you know, all these plants, these wonderful plants, there are a lot of people that are turning to them, and you've heard about the ayahuasca weekends and such,
mm-hmm.
where people are crawling through these doorways to try and find the quick way through Personally, I think you get it when you get it, and it does require a commitment and an awareness, and more than just, you know, dropping a couple of cubes. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, it should be available to every seeker, and not every seeker is going to, you know, choose the easy door to walk through.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, wait a minute, I need to know more about this. But they can reach for the vibrational mm-hmm. version of it.
I think some people just need to see it. They just go, all right, I understand this to this level. Now I want to see, and I don't care what happens. And you can go into it. That's one way, I think. And boom, and then you go, okay, I've seen it. Now I can work with it and work on it.
You know, the thing about it is, too, that it's not something – I mean, I've worked with peyote. I was prepared for that, though. I studied with somebody, and – I was prepared for the journey that I would take once, you know, I went through that doorway using the cactus. I've worked with psilocybin, of course, for a good time, Call Gwen.
Brilliant.
I grew up in South Florida. Me and the cow patties are right next door. We used to go mushroom picking. So in my youth, you know, I had an experience with that, but now I harvest them and I create the homeopathic version of them, or the vibrational flower essence remedy that I can put into my mists and allow people to find their own subtle doorways and awakening awareness that is as strong or as shimmering as they need it to be to approach it on their own terms.
Yeah, it's not overpowering. You're not taking it and it's going to take you one way or the other. You can open up to it as much as you want by using these essences. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And combined with the essential oils, it creates a complete package, and it awakens not just the subtle senses, but the physical senses, and the alignment is made. Hopefully, that's what we're going for.
Nice. Yeah, well, it happens. I'll tell you.
Again, this time right now is incredible. And going over what we were talking about earlier with these ascension symptoms that so many of us have been really, really confused by, and then, oh, it's like a V8. Oh, I get it. I apparently had to go to the emergency room in order to get it, but I got it.
And we all have our way.
Yeah, geez. It's extraordinary. It's like if you've, you know, it's like astral initiation. When they yank you out of your body, you know the difference, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think we're all being tugged. All of us who are awakened are being tugged. I'm sure there are bodhisattvas among us who are fully awake, who are here to help and to lend their energy to us being able to define the multiple dimensions that are shimmering in and out before us right now, because I think that's what's going on. Check your magnetic, you know, fluctuations of the subtle bodies of the planet right now that are fluctuating so drastically.
And I think clearly the universe always helps us out, because we have this north node of the moon. Tom Lesher was saying north node of the moon at, what is it, 1 degree for 75 days. It's right now. And then I think eventually it changes into 2 days here, 5 days here, blah, blah. But it's just staying stationary, north node of the moon, boom, 1 degree. And I think that's like our homing beacon, our true north. That's how I see it. What do you think, Gwen?
Well, I think with all of the really, truly magnetic things that are going on in our physical world that are affecting our senses, I think that has to be, yeah, the universe looking out for us. Mm-hmm. Or it's the cradling of the mother in the center of the galaxy here. Some say the oldest cultures say that the center of our cosmos is Isis. And the Maya say it is the one giver of movement of measure and call it Hunaku. But simply stating, this is a birthplace. The black hole is a birthplace of some kind. And so that means mother. And so the mother is looking out for us because it's the gravity and magnetics and influences beginning there. Of course, it's the whole universe, but where we can find some touchstone to the greater universe is through our cosmos, our galaxy, and from there. So I'd say that, yeah, she's keeping the moon right there for an anchor.
Yeah. I just had an interesting thought because the way I see it is like it's like an ohm, you know, it's a one note, one vibration. And I've heard that the earth was vibrating at a middle C and has recently moved up to a C sharp.
Yeah.
And the C sharp, you know, C sharply also, you know, that's a cute thing that they put in there, but it may be, you know, we think of the middle C as the middle ground, the first note, you know, so C sharp, who knows, maybe it's like a vibration of that, of where we are, or maybe one step above something where, you know, come hither, children, take one more step into, I don't know, what, a D? Is that what we would be at? Yeah.
Well, I think you have a great deal of validity there. I will say that chanting has been helpful to me. I've been studying Buddhism because I'm looking to bring that guide in. And the Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, you know.
I like that one.
Yes, that centers you in the metaphysical anchor of self and universe. And I am finding some real success just using it with my own good intentions. You know what? We're at the top of the hour, man.
Yeah, awesome. What a great ride. I like this Saturday afternoon. I like it that it's the day and it's in the middle. I like it.
It's a nice fit. Yeah, it's breaking new ground, and that's what we've all got to be doing right now. But I want to give a shout out to Anita Stewart, who does the Friday show on Here Be Monsters. What? Here Be Monsters.
We Be Monsters.
Wise Woman Media, and she always has wonderful guests that tell great stories about what wise women are doing these days to make a beautiful change on this planet. And the Sable Trail Pipeline was last night's show. And I believe that Anita is either going to record with me today or is going to stop by tomorrow to talk about that right now. But you can find it on the archival show from last night. Also, 7 p.m. on Monday, Spirit Therapy. And tomorrow at 6 p.m. is the Sunday show, our political version of healing for the planet. I get nasty and rowdy. I'm a radical. I'm joined by two gentlemen who are progressive and conservative, and we have a really good time of it. We try to do some good about bringing that light, that information to the community. So, thank
you. Great shows, both great, all three.
Believe that. No. 3 seconds, and
we're in. I know.
We're in recording now.
Should we babble for another 20 minutes?
I got 4. that was a good time. I want to thank everybody for listening, who's going to be listening in the archives. And this has been the Consciousness Shift New Bet time, but same bat channel with Nicole Tomasini of Spirit Therapy on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. and Gwen Berry. And I guess that's it, Nick.
All right. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Yeah.